Welcome each and every one of you here. Thankful for each and every one of you that's come out this day. Snows are flying, but I don't think it's going to get that deep. So we're thankful for each and every one of you that's come out this morning. We got some fine little young ladies and gentlemen back here. It's going to ring some bells in a minute. And Steve's going to fill in preaching. They told me Jimmy had to take Caleb to the hospital this morning, so remember that prayer down through today. One other thing, Rex Moss is in surgery this morning. Try to get him to speak. And
tomorrow morning,
okay. So remember that prayer. And he'll be away at Northgate at the Oak Ridge Center on Association Drive. So if you get a chance, stop by and see him or send him a card. Lift him up a little bit.
Brother, they said because of the viruses, but I don't want anybody to come in right now.
Okay, amen.
I do want them to send a card.
Okay. So, I think it's just about like that out there where Virginia is. They got signs on the doors that says quarantine. So send them a card or pray for them. And there's others, the dear saints in this church that aren't able to come right now. So, with that, I don't think I got any more announcements. We'll take up our offering. We got some young men sitting here ready to roll this morning, aren't they? Brock, will you say a prayer for me, buddy? Okay. Amen. Nobody got anything? We're going to listen to some bells ring. All right, Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For all of our parents and grandparents that may have a child in kindergarten and through fifth, and they're not up here this morning, They're always welcome to ring with us. In fact, we would love to have every one of them. And if you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle that sometimes keeps your children, keeps your grandkids on the weekends and you're not on the remind list, please see me or see any parent of a child that's up here, and we'll help get you on that remind list so that you know when they're practicing and when they're ringing. We're very, very blessed to have these wonderful children and wonderful parents and grandparents and family members that bring them, and I'm very, very grateful for that. The very first song that they just played was Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow, and that's what we're here to do this morning. And their two songs are to do just that. The first one is How Great Thou Art, and I thought about the beautiful snow this morning. Wasn't it pretty? God just blesses us with just little things that just are joys to our heart with their beauty. But I thought also just the magnificence of his creation. A few days ago in our daily bread devotional, it was about the magnificence of the creation of earth. And then Judy did a wonderful job Wednesday night teaching us about that creation and about how the latest telescopes have discovered in the center of the galaxy is the image of a cross, and how wonderful it is just to realize that he has prepared a perfect place for us here until we can go to be with him there. And just the distance it is from the sun provides us with the heat we need without burning us up. The gravity that he's provided for us is the perfect amount to keep us here, but the atmosphere doesn't trap toxic gases. So any other planet would not be what he's created for us here. So our very first song is How Great Thou Art, and that's what we're celebrating, is just all the small things, but all the big things that he's provided for us that sometimes we take for granted. We don't even stop and think just how great our Father is and how much he loves us and how much he wants to provide for us. And our second song is Pastor Aaron's favorite verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in practice the past couple of weeks, I've asked the children some things that they want, some things they think they need. And we've talked about how to put God first, about how to not pitch a fit when it's time to come to church. Get up and come to church because that's putting God first. About how when they're in school, to wear their Joy Bell shirt, tell other people about Jesus, about inviting them to our church to fun activities, about how being sure that we're following our parents' rules and we're following our teachers' rules. Those are just ways to put God first, which is what, in their little world, I think it means to seek him first. So we've talked about that. They know what they're ringing about, and they're going to sing about it too this morning. But first, how great thou art.
Thank you.
don't think there's any way I keep up with that. Susie holding cards up and they're singing. Amen. That's right. Amen, Steve. Amen. Amen. Randy's going to give us one now.
When life gets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're going through and may not can make that high mountain view. But one thing I found that I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? And he sees a sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears your tears that don't make a sound. If you only how precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Bless you, Virgil.
Amen. Bless his heart.
Amen.
I begin to pray and ask God.
Father,
would you come for me?
Right.
Amen. And you did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone else? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I know, Steve, you ain't had much time, but come on, buddy. You ready?
Says in the scriptures, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you. Amen.
Amen.
I pray when I pray at night, because I pastored 37 years, preached 40. I'm not preaching right now as far as regularly in a church, and I pray at night. I say, Lord, wherever the door opens,
yeah,
I will preach.
Amen.
I didn't know it was going to open this morning. But anyway. But I thank God that it did. Amen.
Amen.
Everything has a reason. Everything has a reason. And I told the Lord years ago when I surrendered to preach that I'd go where He wanted me to go, do what He wanted me to do.
Right.
Preach the Word of God. There's nothing more important. There's no message more important in the world than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing any more important that the world needs to hear today than the message of salvation.
Amen.
All this other stuff is just a waste of time, basically. But they need the message of hope. The message of peace. Talk about peace, and there is no peace apart from Christ.
Right.
He is the only one that can give us peace. Let's turn our Bibles this morning, and I don't want to infringe on Brother Greg and Brother Charlie and their teaching on the book of Acts, but you know, when somebody asks me to preach, and this is not the only time it happens when you walk into church sometimes, people say, could you preach for us tonight? And you know, I got up this morning and I had a message in my Bible because I had preached Wednesday night. But before I came this morning, I laid that message on my desk. So I knew that wasn't the message God wanted me to preach this morning. Amen? That was a message I preached Wednesday night in Marietta. But when I think about it this morning, I was looking through and I was thinking about scriptures. And this is in the book of Acts, by the way, in chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. So teachers get to that lesson on a Sunday morning, they've already forgotten what I said. I hope not, but they probably make it happen about this message. But I find myself sometimes when we think about this message about Brother Paul, and he has already been saved now. We're talking about Brother Paul in the lessons on Sunday morning in Sunday school, and how I think the last place we spoke of him is when he was standing there at the stoning of Stephen. And they were laying their clothes as a witness. And of course, I think it's like, maybe it's like a baseball pitcher laying off his warm-up jacket, you know, so he can get in there and throw harder. I think that's why they were laying their clothes aside also, so they could pick up the stones large enough that they could stone him with and kill him there and leave him lifeless as far as his body, but we know what happened to him in spirit. Amen? As he went on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, what could be better? He's a winner either way. Amen?
Yeah.
But Paul, here in chapter 26, before we get started, let's bow in just a word of prayer. Father, help us this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way. Fill us, Lord. Fill us that we might, out of our innermost being, share something you would have for us today, that we might leave here rejoicing that we could be in the house of the Lord. Help this preacher. Fill us, and may we preach thy word in power, not in word only. There's a soul here, Lord, that does not know you as their Savior. May this be their day of salvation. There's those here that maybe, Lord, they could be a little closer. May this be their day of getting where they need to be with Thee. But have Your way today, Father, in all things.
Yeah.
In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Paul is giving, in a sense, he's giving his little bit of his testimony here in the beginning part of chapter number 26. He is talking about his persecutions and the things that he had done. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like to mention what I've done in my past. I don't think Paul in any way, in any means, was trying to make himself look like somebody in a sense in his past. He was trying to show people what the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can save you from. Amen. And where and what He can set you on a different road. Paul, we know, was breathing out slaughtering as a scripture. And I think about that scripture, and I read that this morning again. When he was breathing out slaughter against the church. Now you think about that. He was killing them as fast as he could round them up. They were taking him in and persecuting those that knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bringing about slaughter to the people of God. Now here's a man. A lot of people say, well, I'm far beyond where I can be saved. I'm just too mean. I'm just too ornery. God's not going to save somebody like me. Well, I want to tell you something. God has already saved the chiefest of sinners, and his name was Paul. Because Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. So nobody is beyond the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody. Paul's already filled that position. He was the chiefest. So if you hear that Christ morning, say, there's no hope for me, there is hope for you. Amen. And there is hope for that one you may be witnessing to. That one that says, I'm beyond salvation. Nobody is beyond God's arm. His arm is not short and his hand not short, that he cannot save to the uttermost. Amen.
Amen.
From the guttermost to the uttermost, the Lord is able to save.
Right.
He is able to save. Bless God for that. Because I was in the gutter at one time. Amen. And he saved me. I thought I was the chief of the sinners. Maybe. No, Paul was. Paul was. Paul punished them in the synagogues. Anywhere he could find them and bring them, he brought them. And we know the story. On his way to Damascus, rounding up Christians to bring back for the slaughter. That's what Paul was doing. You may as well make it what it said it was. You know, you don't want to sugarcoat it. Because Paul was just killing Christians, basically, is what he was out to do. He was adamant about it. And when they were all fallen to the earth, here's his testimony, verse 14 again. He's showing not only what he had done, now he's going to show what God's going to do to him and what he's going to do for the Lord. It says in verse number 14, and when they were all fallen to the earth, this, the Lord showed up on Paul's journey. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee? It is hard for thee. He didn't say, is it? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, what's that mean? Well, the pricks are speaking about a cactus, basically, or a goat, that Paul himself, the Lord said, isn't it hard? Who would want to go out and just take their bare... Back then, they wore sandals. They didn't have these hard-soled shoes like I got on. And the Lord was using this, showing Paul. Paul himself, I believe, this is talking about conviction.
Amen.
Paul was under conviction. Why? Well, I believe it started when he stood there at the and they threw his clothes at Paul's feet. The Bible says as Stephen was being stoned, he stood there and his clothes were thrown at his feet. And Stephen himself, he wasn't making a plea. Oh, please don't hurt me. Don't throw those stones. That'll kill me. No, Stephen wasn't doing that. But he was there looking up into heaven. He was there looking up and seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that every time someone gives their life for the cause of Christ, that Jesus himself stands and welcomes them into the glory of heaven.
Amen.
Every time, I believe. But there he is, Paul standing there, and he's watching this man. And I don't know, maybe his eyes watered up. Maybe his heart felt something there. I believe it did. As this one, as he bowed there and they began to stone him, and he said, lay not this sin to their charge. He said, hey, no, Lord, don't charge them. They know not what they do. Same thing Jesus prayed when he's being crucified. Lord, they know not what they do.
Amen.
I believe from that moment on, as he seen Stephen and his stand for Christ, that Paul began to be convicted over in his life, realizing there was something better. It was something better than the law and trying to obey the law for salvation. It was to put your trust in one who had obeyed the law to a T, and his name was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now you say, well, I don't have to obey the law. I didn't say that. I said, you don't obey the law of salvation. You obey the law after you're saved in order to be a good Christian. Amen. You follow the Lord. He's given us the outline how to follow him after we're saved. I don't think anybody wants to commit adultery. Nobody wants to, shouldn't want to steal, want to kill. All those things are how we live our life as a Christian. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. We talked about a witness this morning. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Paul, I'm going to make you a witness of those things you have seen. You see, Paul wasn't ignorant to the fact of the message of the gospel. He was not ignorant to the fact of the things that Jesus had been doing. He knew what was going on. He had heard the stories. If he hadn't seen it personally, and I don't know how he couldn't have with the things that were going on. And Jesus did not do this thing in a corner, as it says. Amen. This thing wasn't hid from anybody. Jesus was healing people. Jesus had raised people from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus had fed a multitude with just a few little loaves and fishes. Jesus had done so many miracles. Jesus said unto Paul, I am going to make you a witness of these things. I'm going to make you a witness of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to make you a witness of it. Are not all of us, in that sense, a witness for Christ? Aren't we a witness of his saving grace? Aren't we a witness of his mighty abilities and powers that he has to save and to heal? And I want to tell you something. I got saved. He raised the dead. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. I was dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible tells me. And he raised me to a new life, bless God. So he raises the dead. For this purpose, he said, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And here's a key, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. If we ever needed at this time in our nation's history, for a people to be turned from the darkness to the light, as we see the things happening in our society, in our culture, all the open sin that's going on and uncondemned seemingly by, and we know by the world is not going to be condemned by it. But friends, as children of God, we need to stand for that which is right. We need to stand for the light. Be a light in the darkness. Be a salt of the earth. And if we are not a salt, and if a salt has lost its savor, if the salt has lost its ability, then it will be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. And we're seeing, and I believe, we're not careful in our churches, in our culture, in our United States of America, we're seeing the salt being cast out and trodden under the feet of men. That's why salt, we're to be the salt of the earth. A salt preserves. Salt seasons. It keeps something from getting rotten, amen. As children of God, we're to keep this old world from rotting by our lives, by our testimony, by the way we live, by the things we do. by the things we say, by the things we watch, all these things are a testimony to the light. Because it says, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus said, Paul, I'm going to make you a witness that you can turn those who are living in darkness, those who have no hope, those who need salvation, I'm going to make you a witness unto them that you might turn them from the darkness that they're in, that they might have hope. That's where hope is needed today. It's not in programs. Government's not going to make you happy. Amen?
Amen.
Bigger checks won't make you happy, though it's important to pay your bills. I understand that. But it's not going to make you happy. Take all these people who've won lotteries and all these kind of things and look at their lives and how many of them have been destroyed because of all this. Money don't make you happy.
No.
Oh, if I could only... Only following Jesus
Amen.
Makes a difference.
Amen.
He is the hope. He is the life. He is our peace. He is the power to save. Friends, we don't know him today. You can. Now, getting into my message, amen? Whereupon, O King Agrippa, he is before the king, Paul is here speaking. Didn't matter who Paul spoke in front of, shouldn't matter who we speak in front of.
That's right.
Because God is no respecter of persons, amen?
Amen.
Right. Everybody, I mean, I want to tell you something, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, amen?
Right.
The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and it doesn't matter, everybody that dies don't take anything with them. No matter what they got in this old work, they don't take anything with them. Oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. First thing we see about Paul, he was faithful to what God had called him to do.
Amen.
He was faithful to the heavenly vision. My friends, I remember the heavenly vision that I got. You got a heavenly vision? Why, sure. I remember back when God was speaking to my heart about preaching the gospel. After I'd gotten saved, it was 3 or 4 years, let me see. I got saved in 73, then started preaching in 78. So it must have been about 5 years that the Lord began to deal with my heart, maybe 4 years, because I tried to fight it. I'm not kidding you, I did. I had a good job. I mean, I had a job. I was a draftsman for an oil and gas company. I had a good job, making good money, had good benefits. And the Lord began to deal with me, and that was my heavenly vision, by the way. The Lord began to deal with me about telling people about Jesus Christ. I mean, I used to dream. I think maybe it's every preacher's dream. I hope so. I used to dream in my dreams that I was preaching to hundreds of people about Christ. Right, brothers? I dreamed that dream. And God was showing me whether I preached to one or whether I preached to 1,000, it doesn't matter. God was showing me, he was giving me a burden, a vision, that I should be preaching the gospel. I thank God through the years and the places I have been able to preach. One of the first sermons I ever preached, I think there was 7 or 8 people there, and 6 of them was my family. Amen. I'm not kidding you. I got to preach to my family. Amen. I could tell you some stories, but I'll not get into all that. But how the Lord has blessed, and I've tried to, as Paul has said, I've tried to be faithful to the heavenly vision no matter where it was at. That's like this morning when somebody asks you to preach, you think about the flesh says, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, you're not prepared. I forget.
that God has prepared. Amen.
Right. Amen.
God is faithful. The Holy Spirit is always ready. He said, I will guide you into all truth. He said, I will put in your mouth those things you need to say. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to study.
Amen.
I love to study the Word. You can ask my wife. I'm sitting at my desk a big part of the day sometimes, just studying and reading and things of the Word of God. And it's important that we feel, because he said he would bring those things to our remembrance whatsoever I have taught you, and where you get that teaching by the reading of the Word of God. Now, he's not going to bring things to your remembrance if you haven't studied those things.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, that's not the way it happens. But Paul said, I have what? I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, Paul said. And he's standing before Agrippa. Paul knew his days were starting to be numbered now, because he was starting to get taken before the kings, and he would eventually have to go to Rome and all these things, and be put in jail or under house arrest, where, you know, he knew his restrictions were coming. But Paul said, it doesn't matter. I mean, people wanted to try to take Paul. Even one time he was going to Jerusalem, and they started weeping over him, because they knew he would, you know, be in trouble if he went to Jerusalem. Paul said, listen. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Whether I live or die, I'm going to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. Basically what he said.
Amen.
Don't trouble me with all this crying about it. He said, I'm going to be faithful to the heavenly vision that God has called me to do, no matter what the circumstances. You say, well, that's just to Paul. That's just to preacher. That is to every child of God. Amen.
Amen.
In a sense, we are all preachers. Not everybody's pastors. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody can be a teacher unless God calls. I believe that these are the things that God gives the churches and gives. But everybody is to preach, tell others about Jesus. Paul said, I have been faithful to what God has called me to do when he told me to go and be a witness of these things and to turn people from darkness unto light. He said, I have followed what God has asked me to do. I have been faithful to that heavenly vision. I have that in my heart, that there needs to be people saved, that there is a hell that is hot and there is a heaven to gain. Listen, friend, all these things are true, and Paul knew it, and he preached. It.
Amen.
People today are afraid. You never hear, if you watch some of these preachers on TV, you never hear anything about hell. You never hear anything about being lost. You never hear anything about sin. Sin has seemingly been taken out of the vocabulary of a lot of theology, places of theology, and places that, friends, sin is alive and well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we are living in sin. He'll do it. Paul said, I've been obedient. But showed first, verse 20, unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And what Paul is saying there is, when a person gets saved, it takes a repenting of sin. He said, I have preached repentance. There has to be a repenting of sin. You cannot claim to be a child of God unless something has happened and changed your life from the sins that you were once living in. Amen. There is no taking our sins with us when you got saved. Sins are to be repented of. That's not a popular message today. But that's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth from the Word of God. You have to repent. You have to change your ways. You can't live in sin and claim to be a Christian. And I don't believe any born-again child of God will want to do that. Do works meet for repentance. What Paul's saying is to show you've been saved by the works that you do. It shows you've repented. It's a change of mind. That's what repentance is. That big word, it's just a change of mind about sin. When I got saved, I didn't want to drink anymore. When I got saved, I didn't want to do the things of the world anymore. I wasn't interested in the things of the world anymore. Is that growing? I know we grow as children of God, but friends, those things were there within me. Once I got saved, He put His seed within me, the Holy Spirit. And the moment I started to get out of lying, the Holy Spirit's there. Bless God, Brother Val. The Holy Spirit is there to convict you, and you quench the Holy Spirit. You say, Father, forgive me, and the joy of the Lord comes back. Amen? No child of God will want to live in sin. Sin to the child of God, and we're talking about this verse here about repentance. Sin to the child of God should be like some of these roads out here that we drive on. And I think I've used the illustration before maybe, but you're driving along and all at once there's this pothole. And you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And you hit it.
Right.
Now, you didn't want to hit that pothole, amen?
No.
Now, that's what sin ought to be in the life of a Christian. It's something that may pop up. But friends, when you hit that pothole, instead of cussing the state, you'll ask God to forgive you for those thoughts you had, amen? That's right. You ask God to forgive you.
Yeah.
Immediately. Same as when that guy cut you off in traffic, amen? Right?
Yeah.
God forgive me for that thought, amen, that I had. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Paul, you know, it wasn't. To Paul, death was on the doorstep. I mean, he was like David. There's but a step, David said, between me and death. And that's the way it was with Paul. I mean, Paul knew that his life, you know, was in danger everywhere he went from those who did not believe. Everyone did not believe. We know that. They're going about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, verse number 22, I continue unto this day. So we see Paul's loyalty here, don't we? We see Paul. Just because they go about to kill him, Paul says, I continue in verse number 22 unto this day. So that's a continuance. It means Paul, from the very day he got his heavenly vision there, to what God wanted him to do, until that very day he stood before King Agrippa, he said, I have continued to be faithful, to be the witness that I ought to be.
Yeah.
Friends, that's what Christianity is all about. It is being faithful
right. Until
that day. Amen. Either that day you might die for Christ. I was reading the other day. I'm going quickly here because I know my time is running short. I was reading the steps, and I don't have them with me. Someday I may share those with you. Of the things in a society, in a culture, that finally leads up to where Christians are no longer welcome in that culture. I want to tell you something. I think we're at the last step in America. According to those things they had lined out there that happen in a culture that leads up to eventually where the Christians are the only one causing that culture to be able to evolve into that next step. Christianity seems to be the one they hate, right?
Amen.
We can see it. Hopefully you can see it if your eyes are open to the truth. And we can see it from God's Word and from the Holy Spirit showing us. They went about to tell you. Paul said, I have continued to this day witnessing both to small and great. I mean, he had witnessed to the people who weren't popular, to the poor. He had witnessed to the rich. He had witnessed before kings. He is before King Agrippa right now, right? He is witness to all. It didn't matter. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. Doesn't matter. I could give you some stories on that, but for time we won't. None other things, both small and great, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And here's what it was. The Old Testament says this, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message, folks. There are so many messages out here today that you never hear anything about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for people's sins. It's always something about this could be the day of your best life or something, you know, as people preach. That kind of stuff. Listen to me. I never seen anywhere that when you got saved, you're going to have a wonderful life. You're going to have a wonderful eternity. But where did God promise us a wonderful life? He said that he would bless us, yes. But friends, if we're like the Apostle Paul, if we're like those who preach the gospel faithfully, no matter what, to whoever will, friends, listen to me, it's not always going to be that wonderful. Somebody is not going to like you. Somebody will hate you. Could start in your family. Could be where you go to school. Wherever, you're not going to be liked. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Why? Because nobody likes to hear that they're a sinner and needs to be saved. Nobody. Oh, no, I'm a good person. Well, there's a difference in being a good person and being saved. Amen. My Bible tells me there's none good but God. There's none good but God. And I can't put that any other way. And all we can do is trust in a good God. Amen. Having therefore, he said, he was a witness that Christ should suffer. And as that means he was passionate in a sense. He didn't give up. He was witness and he had emotions about it when he started talking to King Agrippa in verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. That's one of the things that's in those steps about society is that they will look at Christianity and Christians as being ignorant, unlearned, trying to stop the progression of whatever in our world and society today unto an evolved culture that looks at sin as the norm. Bible, we wonder, we say sometimes, how can people not see where we're at? What's going on in our world? What's going on in our culture? Because the devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not. They've been sent, the Bible says, strong delusion that they might believe the devil's lie. And we're seeing it today. You can talk about stuff and the wrongness of certain things, and a lot of people look at you, what? What's wrong with that? Yeah, right. That's delusion, folks. Right. That's believing the devil's lie. You're beside yourself, Paul. You're mad. You're crazy. Basically, he said, Paul, you're crazy. If you witness for Christ and you be the testimony for Christ you ought to be, there are going to be people who think you're crazy. Right. For the king... But he said, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy, most noble Festus. You see, Paul was always very respectful of people. I'm not crazy, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Paul is saying the word sober there, not dealing with alcohol. It is dealing with seriousness. Paul said, I am serious about this. And friends, as we see, and I'm closing, as we see what is happening As we see in our society, in our culture, and the things that are happening in our world, if we cannot look around us with seriousness to say and see what is happening. Paul said this is a serious matter. People are dying and going to a crisis eternity. And Festus, you're headed there too. Agrippa, you're headed there too. And I'm going to jump down to verse 28 and I'm closing. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How sad to be at the very precipice, in a sense, at the very doorstep, ready to enter into that salvation, ready to be saved, ready to know Christ, ready to accept what Paul is saying. But I believe so often because of prestige, because of peer pressure, because of the things in his life, that he would not turn from that and turn to the Savior almost. And there are people today, maybe someone here, almost persuaded to be a Christian. Why are you almost persuaded? Why will you not come and receive this eternal life? Why will you not come and be saved and know this wonderful Savior that people would give their lives for because of the truth of it and because they realize where you're going without Christ? Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let's bow our heads together just for a moment. Christians, let me talk with us first, those that know Christ. Are we and have we been faithful to the heavenly vision? I'm talking about the time when you got saved. That's what Paul's vision consisted of, his salvation, and of course then his mission. That was basically the vision that Paul saw, that God was telling him after he got saved, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be a witness. Friend, that's just not to Paul, that's to all of us. We all are to be a witness for Christ. We're all to tell what Christ has done for. That's what Paul was doing. First part of that chapter, he was saying, here's where I was at. Here's what I was doing. Here's how big of a monster I was. Here how I was slaughtering Christians and killing Christians, delivering them. He said, here's what I was. But he said, when Jesus smote my heart, when Jesus showed me what I was, when he opened my eyes to who I was and what I was doing, that's when I turned my life over to him. Said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Friends, brothers and sisters, you've got a church building here to fill up. That's what God would have you to do. You've got neighbors that need to be saved. That's what he would have you to do, to tell them. You've got people you work with that need a Savior. That's what he would tell you to do, to win them to Christ. You have children down the street from you that probably played outside. If there's any snow this morning, they'd be playing outside in no church that anybody maybe had ever invited them to. I look at all these children up here this morning, and I thought, yes, isn't that wonderful? Bless God, hallelujah. But there are more out there. There are more. Have we been faithful to that heavenly calling? With the uplifted hand, preacher, I want to be faithful to that heavenly calling in my life. Who would lift their hand this morning? I want to be faithful. Yes, yes, yes. God sees those hands. I want to be a witness for Christ. I want to tell my neighbors. I want to tell my family about Jesus. I realize it's my responsibility. It is my heavenly, it is a vision, in a sense, that heavenly vision that God gave Paul, he has given each of us to do and to be a witness for him. If you're here this morning without Christ, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved this morning. No matter how old you are, how young you are, if you're here and you understand that you need a Savior, raise your hand this morning and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know if I'd die, go to heaven. Pray for me. Is there one this morning?
is there one. Father, we thank you for your word. Have your way this morning, Father. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence here today. Have your way during this song. If there's one that needs to come, I pray they'll come in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
Page 111. 111.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
You think about your life.
His word shall not fail you. He promised.
Have we been faithful to that heavenly vision? Believe only we know that. I don't know that.
And all will
for you.
Be well.
I only know my own life.
Then go to.
Maybe we need to come.
Come
and pray.
That is dying.
Lord, I want to be a witness for thee. Come.
His perfect salvation.
Teenage.
To tell.
Come.
Turn
your eyes.
Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you for allowing me to preach for you this morning. God bless you, Brother Al. Praise the Lord.
I thought as the kids were singing, how great thou art.